me, Professor?
I believe we're in some kind of catacomb.
Yikes! What's that? It looks like a mummy.
Welcome, gentlemen, to the tomb of Comedy O'Rama.
Comedy O'Rama Theater presents The Misadventures of Sherlock Holmes, the honest and true memoirs of a non-entity. Episode 9, Revenge of the Beekeeper.
It is with some hesitation that I reveal, at long last, the facts which are to follow. Facts that not only make up the last case of Mr. Sherlock Holmes' long career, but which also cast a rather dark shadow on my person. The word revenge has a great significance in this final adventure, and even greater significance to me in particular. Now, what exactly does it mean, revenge? Perhaps Shakespeare said it best. Can't remember what Shakespeare said, but I know he said it best. He always said everything best, you know. I'm quite certain that if William Gillette were to star in a full-scale production of Shakespeare's greatest laundry lists, it would immediately become a classic. It's as if Shakespeare, from beyond his grave, has had his revenge on hack writers such as I, Dr. John H. Watson, M.D., who have had to rely on cheap theatrics and literary hocus-pocus to sell a story. There was the time, for example, I concocted Holmes' untimely and spectacular demise off the rocky cliffs of Reichenbach Falls. Of course, Holmes didn't really die. I faked the whole bloody incident to boost my sagging book sales. And it worked. All the while, Holmes was in truth locked in a prison cell in India with Mahatma Gandhi. It wasn't the first time I had deceived Holmes for my own gains, and it wouldn't be the last.
I say, Watson, old fellow. You are rather an old fellow, old fellow.
And you, Holmes, are as young as ever.
Yes, I know. It must be all those chemical stimulants. They keep me looking fresh. Like the fountain of youth.
More like embalming fluid.
Well, Watson, old fellow, I have just returned from my triumphant Broadway debut.
You were a flop, Holmes.
But, Watson, the New York Times calls Springtime for Sherlock almost nearly, but not quite entirely, something totally unlike a play. That's a quote, Watson.
So?
Well, don't you see? I'm a star. I've conquered Broadway. I've dined with John Barrymore, lunch with Alfred Lunt. I've had my way with the Great White Way. I am merely stopping back here at Sussex to mingle with the little people and see if you've been taking good care of my bee farm. Then I'm off to Hollywood.
What?
Yes, Hollywood. I'll dine with Marlena Dietrich, lunch with Greta Garbo. I'll have my way with Fay Wray.
Holmes, you are not going to leave me stuck alone in this bee farm again.
Well, you do have Mrs. Hudson to keep you company.
She's gone senile.
No, Watson. That was a trick to fool you. I've forgotten why.
No, she really has gone this time.
You mean...
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
It couldn't be.
But it is.
Yes.
What? She thinks she's you.
Me? Where is she? Let me see her.
She's off on a case.
A case?
Yes, she solved 3 just this week. It seems she's a better detective than you ever were.
Does Inspector Lestrade know about this?
Who do you think hired her, dear fellow?
Well, I'll put a stop to this. There's only one Sherlock Holmes, and it's me. Isn't it, Watson? Watson? I am Sherlock Holmes, right?
Of course you are.
Oh, good, good. Well, I'm off to ferret out and capture Mrs. Hudson and stop her from being me.
But Holmes...
Oh, Watson...
Yes, Holmes?
You're a doctor.
Yes, I know, Holmes.
And you have access to chemical stimulants which would otherwise be unobtainable.
Yes, Holmes, what are
you
getting at?
I have this 7% solution, you see, and I need it to clear my sinus condition, you see, and I was wondering if you could... If you could...
Prescribe illicit drugs for you? Opium? Cocaine?
Yes.
Never, Holmes. Never,
but
never,
it's not
never.
Fair. Last week, cocaine was legal. It's not my fault they changed the law.
You mean it's not your fault your connection met with an untimely and gruesome death?
Watson, you've been following me.
Yes, Holmes. Once again, I know every move you've made while you were... portraying yourself in that William Gillette musical.
But why did you secretly follow me?
Because I was convinced you were correct in thinking someone was trying to kill you.
I was right, after all.
So I pretended to leave for England on the next ship and stayed in New York to follow your every move. I saved your life 6 times the first day.
And I thought I was just extremely lucky. The bank safe? The anvil? The buzzsaw?
You'd be dead right now.
But what about the angry florist with the machete?
Well, I can't be expected to thwart every villain. But I do feel sorry for your connection. What a mess.
I am forever in your debt, dear, dear Watson.
As usual.
Dear old Watson. Who in the twilight of his years saved my life? Even in his decrepitude, he was able to push off his own passing away, simply of old age, to come to my aid. Even as his crumbling body was melting before his tired eyes, he rescued my person. Even as his weakened ears heard Saint Peter calling him to the pearly gates, he kept me from joining him. Dear old Watson, I shall truly miss him.
I am not dead.
Well, you should be. Watson, you look like death.
Thank you.
My pleasure. But there's one thing I don't understand about you following me around New York.
What's that?
You were here, at the farm, when I arrived.
I arrived seconds before you.
Dear old Watson, rushing ahead of me, his fragile little legs about to give out from under him. Even as he was about to utter his dying breath, he walked on, serene in the knowledge that...
Oh, shut up.
But if you arrived here moments before I did, then who's been taking care of my bees?
Well, Holmes, you see, I wasn't here. And Mrs. Hudson definitely wasn't here, in more ways than one. Therefore, I had no choice but to sell them at auction.
Sold my bees? My little bees?
It was either you or them. After all, I did save your life.
Well then, what is that buzzing noise?
It was the gramophone all along.
I wondered why you kept getting up and replaying that record every 3¼ minutes, but I never heard any music.
It was all a trick. Now listen to me, Holmes. You are in grave danger, do you understand?
Yes.
You are not to leave this house, do you understand?
Yes.
Not to leave for any reason.
Yes.
You are to stay put at risk of certain death. Do you understand?
Of course, Watson.
Holmes, where are you going?
To ferret out and capture Mrs. Hudson and stop her from being me. Then I'm off to fame and fortune in Hollywood.
But...
Ta-da, Watkins!
Oh, Thank you, Mr. Sherlock Holmes, sir, for solving another baffling crime.
I go into a case to help the ends of justice.
Well, that you've done, sir.
And the work of the police.
I see that you're duly rewarded.
Well, I have no wish ever to score at the expense of Scotland Yard. You take the credit, my good man.
Me? Why, thank you, Mr. Sherlock Holmes, sir. Thank you, and God bless you, sir.
Mental inferior.
Mrs. Hudson! Mrs. Hudson, wait! Mrs. Hudson, take that ridiculous costume off at once.
Kindly take your hands off my person. I find this display of emotion fills me with great disdain for you.
Mrs. Hudson, I...
Oh, you have me confused with my former landlady. I am Sherlock Holmes.
No, no. You are Mrs. Hudson. I am Sherlock Holmes.
The blunt accusation. The brutal tap upon the shoulder. What can one make of such a denouement? One can only deduce that you are mad.
If you really are Sherlock Holmes, then tell me something about yourself.
My name is Sherlock Holmes, the world's first and only consulting detective. I am the descendant of country squires and the grandson of the sister of the French artist Vernet. I was born in Sussex on June 11, 1854. I retired late in 1903 and came out of retirement at the start of the war to end all wars with Germany. My services to England earned me a private audience with Queen Victoria in 1895, and I refused the offer of a knighthood in June 1902. My partnership with Dr. John H. Watson began in 1882, when I took up lodgings with him at 221B Baker Street. On the 4th of January, 1891, I finally caught up with my archenemy, Professor James Moriarty. I have one brother, Mycroft, who lodges at the Diogenes Club, Whitehall. In 1904...
Enough! My life is passing before my eyes!
Anything further you wish to know?
Yes. What is your middle name?
Thornycroft.
It is? I didn't even know I had a middle name. She is a better detective than I am.
Now, if you're completely satisfied that I am who I maintain to be, I must exit, for I have several cases to solve. Oh, why does fate play such tricks with poor helpless world?
Good day, Mr. Holmes. Well... If Mrs. Hudson wants to dress up as me, then there's only one thing left to do. I'll dress up as her. Well, no, Mr. Holmes. I see I finally tracked you down.
Mrs. Hudson, you come to me at a highly inopportune moment. I'm just about to crack a case.
Perhaps I can be some help to you.
Women are never to be entirely trusted, not the best of them.
But, Mr. Holmes, it is I, your winsome, engaging, endearing Mrs. Hudson.
The most winning woman I ever knew was hanged for poisoning three children for their insurance money.
And to think I gave you the best years of my life, cooking and cleaning for you, trudging up and down those 12 steps, 11 if you don't count the broken one, bringing you your mail, putting up with your odd experiments and your nightly mail callers. And now I offer you my assistance in solving a mystery. You turn me down. Don't you think I like to add a touch of dramatic to my miserable life? The grotesque incident, the singular, the bizarre clue, the scientific use of the imagination, the hunt, the chase, heads split open, bodies ripped apart, blood, blood, blood!
I think I'll have an onion bun.
How can you think of food when Conan Doyle may be getting away?
Aha! So you do know about the case I'm on.
I should. I've been on the case for years. I mean, well, I picked up a bit of your deduction theories over the years, you know.
I have proof that not only is the famous missing link skull found at Piltdown not genuine, but that it was Arthur Conan Doyle, Watson's low-life literary agent, who perpetrated the hoax.
And what was his motive?
You see, Doyle believes wholeheartedly in spiritualism, with its mediums, seances, and mystical revelations. He's written innumerable pamphlets, articles, and books on the subject. Scientific skeptics, such as myself, dismissed his wanderings because he ignored clear evidence of fakery and self-deception among mediums and clairvoyants. But Doyle retorted in kind. He once wrote, "Why should a man who had heard the dead speak heed the chatter of irresponsible journalists or the head-shaking of inexperienced men of science? They are babies in this matter." Yes, Mrs. Hudson. His motive was revenge. Piltdown provided a chance to reverse the tables. If science swallowed a scientific fraud like Piltdown Man, then all of science could be, in Doyle's twisted mind, condemned.
Again, what was the skull found at Piltdown?
Nothing more than a human skull with a baboon's jaw attached by wire.
Amazing. I was right after all.
Now, Mrs. Hudson, the evidence I need is in that onion bun shop. It will provide conclusively my case against Doyle. I dare not go into that shop. My life is already in danger. But if you, Mrs. Hudson, were to go in there dressed as me, and I were to go in dressed as you, I could investigate the scene without fear of harm to my person, and you could act as my decoy.
You want me to dress as Sherlock Holmes?
Yes.
And you will dress as Mrs. Hudson?
Yes.
Let me think it over for a moment. I'm the real Sherlock Holmes, dressed as Mrs. Hudson, who is dressed as Sherlock Holmes. But now, the real Mrs. Hudson, who is dressed as Sherlock Holmes, wants the real Sherlock Holmes, who is dressed as Mrs. Hudson, to dress as Sherlock Holmes. And the real Mrs. Hudson, who is dressed as Sherlock Holmes, to dress as Mrs. Hudson. I'll do it. I say, Lemuel, I'll have an onion bun and a spinach omelette.
Sorry, but the spinach is off today. How about artichoke?
I'll have the artichoke omelette.
I'll pass.
Suit yourself, but I make a mean artichoke omelette.
How am I doing?
You make a wonderful Mrs. Hudson, quite lifelike.
Well, I'll snoop around. You keep Lemuel busy.
Right.
I'll just go and borrow the salt from one of the tables, Mr. Holmes.
Here's your onion bun.
No, thank you.
So, how's Mr. Sherlock Holmes today?
I'm not myself.
Well, what do you mean?
I mean, well, I'm just feeling a bit guilty, you see. I needed some chemical stimulants for my sinus condition. Only my doctor companion didn't think I needed them, so I took them anyway.
You mean you, the famous detective, stole them?
Oh, no, no. I simply borrowed them.
Gonna give them back, eh?
Well, no, but the doctor won't miss them. He lost his medical license years ago.
You know, you're not the honest man you pretend to be.
You're a fine one to talk. You once told Bert Stover that I killed his cat when it was you who tripped over her. I took the rap for you all these years.
Oh, you could have told the truth.
What? And have you lose your business? Then who would I get to make me my onion buns? Delicious.
Mr. Holmes, do you know who I am?
Of course. You're Lemuel Sturgis, the onion bun man.
No, Mr. Holmes, I'm afraid I am not. I am, in reality, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
Doyle?
And now, Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
Aha! That's where I've got you, Doyle. I'm not Sherlock Holmes, but Mrs. Hudson.
No, no, you're really Sherlock Holmes, dressed as Mrs. Hudson, dressed as Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Mr. Sherlock Holmes, you have been sentenced to death by a jury of your peers.
Sentenced to death? I simply came in here for an onion bun.
And a spinach omelette.
I've committed no crime.
You've committed the most horrible crime of all. The crime of living.
What? There's no crime in being alive.
There is for you. Besides, we just made it up.
But this is ridiculous. I've been alive most of my life.
And had you never lived, our lives would have turned out quite differently. We have to kill you.
Why do you keep saying we?
Look around, Mr. Holmes. Whom do you see?
Mrs. Hudson.
Sherlock Holmes to you, sir.
Now, Mrs. Hudson, we've been all over this before. I'm Sherlock Holmes.
Not any longer. I am.
Over my dead body?
Precisely.
I must have used too many chemical stimulants. I'm hallucinating.
Now, look carefully at all the rest of the people in this room.
A cook?
Professor Moriarty.
He's dead.
That's what I wanted you to believe.
But then who are all those customers at the counter?
From right to left. Bert Stover.
Thought you seen the last of me and me dead cat, eh, Mr. Holmes? With an L.
But Mr. Stover, I have a confession to make. I never killed your cat. It was...
Tells it to Teresa.
Ugh, you've kept that dead cat in that paper bag?
Yes.
But she's been dead for 40 years.
Well, we was very close.
Next we have Mr. William Gillette.
How are you? Glad to see you. Ooh, let me pinch those little cheeks.
I could be better.
Cheer up, Cheryl, baby. I mean, dying should be a cinch for an old pro like you. After all, you died every night in my play. Bombsville, you know what I mean?
Moving right along here. Next we have Miss Irene Adler.
Irene? Even you want to kill me?
If I can't have you, no one can.
And that about wraps things up, I'd say.
But wait! Who are all those customers at the tables?
Those are all the people who have read your stories.
But why would they want to kill me?
Have you ever actually read your stories?
I see what you mean.
And now, Mr. Holmes, I'm afraid this is the end.
But you can't kill me! No, please! Mrs. Hudson, Irene, you'll help your little Shirley. Run and find Inspector Lestrade.
Did someone call my name?
Oh, Inspector, thank goodness you're here. These people have conspired to kill me.
Yes, I know.
Well, do your duty. Lestrade, put down that knife. You're going to kill someone. You too?
Not yet, Inspector. Only one of us will actually perform the act, the most deserving among us.
Which one is that?
Well, we've narrowed it down to two finalists. Either myself or Dr. Watson.
Watson?
Hello, Holmes.
But why?
Quite simple, Holmes. Revenge.
Revenge?
You know what revenge means, don't you?
Well, of course I do. It means revenge. Revenge. I know. To venge again.
That's why we're all here. To have our revenge on you.
But Watson, even you?
I'm afraid so, Holmes. I should never have created you.
Created me? But I
beg to differ. At a moment such as this, Dr. Watson. But it was I who created Sherlock Holmes.
I dare say you're quite mad, Doyle. I, Dr. John H. Watson, M.D., chronicled the life of Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
Yes, but I created you.
No, look here, Doyle.
Both of you are merely fictional characters.
I've had enough of this nonsense. I created Holmes, and I insist on being the one to kill him.
No, it is I who shall kill him.
Just because Holmes was going to reveal that you perpetrated that Piltdown Man hoax doesn't give you sufficient motive to kill him.
Oh, that. I'd forgotten about that. I have to kill him because the spirit of Macbeth told me to do so.
Macbeth?
Yes. I was fiddling around with my Ouija board one day last week, and Macbeth spelled out for me to K-I-L-L-H-O-M-E-S.
That Macbeth bloke can't even spell.
So, I am going to kill him.
Well, not if I get there first.
Put down that knife.
I'm going to kill him.
I'm going to kill him.
I am.
He's terribly quiet, don't you think?
Yes, Holmes, we are plotting your very demise right in front of you. How can you just sit there with that silly grin on your face? Holmes? Holmes? Well, say something, man.
He has no pulse. He's dead.
But he's smiling.
I believe he passed away of natural causes.
Or a drug overdose.
Sherlock Holmes is finally dead. The gall of the man.
Whatever do you mean, Doyle?
Well, he died before we had a chance to kill him.
Yes, that's true. We didn't murder him.
Yes, but we had good intentions.
It appears that, in the end, Mr. Sherlock Holmes had his revenge on us.
Sherlock, you got the Baker Street blues.
You have been listening to a dramatized version of Revenge of the Beekeeper, the concluding episode of The Misadventures of Sherlock Holmes. As Sherlock Holmes and the Bobby, you heard Vernon Morris. Dr. Watson was Henry J. Quinn. Jan Meredith played Mrs. Hudson and Irene Adler. And Lemuel Sturgis, Arthur Conan Doyle, Bert Stover, William Gillette, Professor Moriarty, and Inspector Lestrade were played by Joseph Bevilacqua. Technical production was by Spider. Special thanks to Dawes Butler, whose idea was the inspiration for this series. The Misadventures of Sherlock Holmes was written, produced, and directed by Joseph Bevilacqua. This is your announcer, Joe Bev, thanking you for listening to The Misadventures of Sherlock Holmes.
Been using a needle on your arms.
Watson's nonsense.
That was a double twist.
Watson's nonsense. Oh, get away from me. Away, I say.
Oh, what happened to your line? We didn't get the other line.
Oh, All right, I took your script down so I could do the hit.
Hey, don't hit me.
Here, do the hit.
Oh, you're going to
do the hit?
I'm going to do the hit.
All right, you do the hit.
Please don't hit me, but I think you can do a little more than you did that last time.
Okay. All right.
Holmes, Mary is nowhere to be found.
Oh, hello, sweetness.
You're Mary Mawson Watson.
What happened to my Mary?
You didn't say it.
Time.
Oh, right.
From the top.
I just wanted to tell you what happened.
Yeah, let's try to make this fast-paced, okay?
Holmes, Mary is nowhere to be found.
Hello, sweetness.
You're Mary Mawson Watson.
You're Mary. Does your Mary get covered up?
Holmes, Mary is nowhere to be found.
Hello, sweetness.
Mary? You're Mary Mawson Watson.
It happened again. Let him say Mary first.
I can't hear.
All right, we'll take a beat before... Yeah, well, it just doesn't... It sounds like a mistake.
Oh, I see.
Oh, Monsieur Holmes.
He was talking underneath.
That's very true.
He was mumbling.
I was mumbling.
112.
Macbeth! Macduff! Master it again! Hang on again. I'll give it a whirl anyway.
Oh, do you like my new shoes?
You should not wear new shoes on Christmas Day. They will hurt, and you're short for walking ten... You should not wear new shoes... You should not wear new shoes on... Yeah.
Shoes?
You should not wear new shoes on Christmas Day. They will hurt and are sure to walk it into catastrophe.
Right into the catastrophe.
They are sure to walk you into a... Are sure to walk you into a catastrophe. Sure to walk you into a catastrophe.
Comedy O-Rama.
Waterlog Production.
Comedy-O-Rama is supported by Bear Manor Media, publisher of the authorized biography of cartoon voice legend Dawes Butler, characters actor.
Yogi Bear.
For more information, check out BearManorMedia.com.